So wait, I'm going to go to the car, okay?
Come out when you're done.
And now maybe we can ask everyone to mute themselves when they come on.
I'm going to try to get it started in the interest of... Sorry, I'll start again. In the interest of trying to make sure that everybody's able to hear as well as we can, if that would be really helpful, so that everybody is able to hear as we're speaking about things tonight. All right. So welcome. I do want to make sure that everybody is aware, given the current state law for board meetings that are being
you're modulated. This is Dan.
We are required to make a recording of them. If you do not wish, I'm told that people have an option here. Okay, I'm working on it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. This is Dan Fedora. Can you hear me? If so, Nell's having some audio trouble. So if you can all mute, and we'll get started as soon as Nell's connection gets better.
Any better at this point?
Marginally.
Sorry.
Nell? You could try turning off your video. That might make your audio feed better.
Well, good evening, everybody. Let me, while Nell is trying to get her audio adjusted. What she was trying to say there is one of the new statutes that came for the Open Meeting Act is that board meetings that are being held remote have to be recorded. So we're just giving you a heads up right now that this Zoom call will be recorded for archive purposes. It will not be shared necessarily with anyone without your permissions. But if you have any objections to being literally on record, please somehow disconnect your camera. You're more than welcome to stay. But it will be recorded, as that's the new OMA guidelines for COVID.
Hi. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, we'll just give it the best shot we can now.
Okay.
It looks good now.
Yeah, it's much better now.
Switch devices. Give me just a second to try and get it set up so it'll stay. All right. I'm sorry about this. It was working before we started, guys. All right.
One of the challenges that we do have with our Zoom package that we have is it caps at 100 people. We are approaching that level, so I'm just sharing that if people can't get in, it's not that we're not trying to allow them in, it's the capacity of the Zoom package that we have. Currently, we're at 92.
Okay. So, Jeff, am I correct that as I was logging back in, I heard you announce to everybody that we're recording?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and move on with our roll call. As Nell, I am present. Jim?
I'm here.
Stacy?
Present.
Abe?
Here.
Dan?
Present.
Dimitri? Dimitri is texting me that he is having issues on his device. He's going to be still trying to get in. All right. Joanne?
Present.
Devin?
Yeah.
All right. And has Cello made it yet? No. Okay. So just so the members of the public are aware, Cello is going to be trying to join us. We were expecting him to be a little late this evening. And Devin is likely going to have to leave the meeting before the meeting has ended. I just want to know that's a pre-existing conflict so people aren't curious why she may need to leave early. Great.
I have Cello being here.
Oh, Cello, are you here?
Look, I'm flying.
Marcello is on. He just texted me. He's on.
Okay, I apologize with having to switch devices. It doesn't let me see as many people that are on at once as my other device would have. All right, so again, I would ask if you guys are willing, if you're not talking, to mute yourself in the background just so that we can hear as well as possible. All right, so I'm gonna call us to order at 6:37 p.m. We're going to start our evening with public comments. For public comment tonight, we will be following quite strictly the guidelines for public comment, which means that no individual group or person will be allowed to speak for longer than 4 minutes. And we will also, the board will not be responding to any public comment tonight. If we have more people that want to speak, we have a maximum of 20 minutes for public comment at this point. If there are more people that would like to give comment than we're able to, please always remember that you are able to email the board. With that board@pccharterschool.org, and we will review all of the emails that we receive with those comments. Thank you to everyone who has sent in comments already. And you know, if you have sent in a comment, we have, the entire board has been able to review that. All right. So for public comment, I know that Mr. Rob Freeman had communicated with me ahead of time requesting to speak, so I'm going to let him speak first.
Thank you. Should I just start?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, cool. So, dear members of the board, tonight you will hear from our school community and make a difficult decision that will affect our students in school for years to come. We do ask the board to move forward with remote learning until it is deemed safe for all students and staff members to return to the classroom. We agree that remote learning, while not the same as in-person instruction, will ultimately support the safest learning environment for our students, their families, and the staff of Prairie Crossing Charter School at this time. We've recognized the hard work that Jeff, Jessica, and Tony have put into this plan. While we are concerned that our voices were not heard when designing the remote learning plan presented to you tonight, the union and its collective members are confident that the decision to teach remotely is our safest option to teach our students. Additionally, we look forward to working collaboratively with the administration to determine the specific details of the phases outlined in the plan. We believe that a remote learning plan places an importance on the safety of not only our students, but our staff and our families. If you decide that it is unsafe for our students to be present in the buildings, then our staff members should be considered equally. We are concerned with coming back into the buildings during phase 4A, since there is not a guarantee that we will not put ourselves at risk or chance spreading illness to others in the school community. We are confident in our ability to maintain Prairie Crossing Charter School's high teaching standards while teaching remotely. We are eager to return to what we do best, teaching and learning. However, since the decisions regarding our return have rapidly changed the past week, and keeping in mind that we return in a few short weeks, we believe that it is the best interest of our school community to push back the start of the school year using our remaining remote learning planning days. Our staff prides ourselves on our ability to work together and collectively prepare for the year ahead. Our educators would benefit, as many other surrounding schools have decided, by using this opportunity to provide clear, consistent in-service opportunities to staff members. We collectively look forward to a successful school year of learning and steady upward progress. We thank you for your time and appreciate your consideration of this model, which has the opportunity to keep the entire Prairie Crossing community safer. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Sawyer or Dimitri is also present for the meeting now. If you would like to give public comment, I would just ask that you raise a hand
And we'll be looking through the videos to see.
So we have each of them that have been verbal.
Okay, sorry, I'm just scrolling through to see if there's anyone wanting. Members of the board, you're welcome to help me if you see anyone with a hand raised who'd like to be a part of public comment.
The purple here. And then the purple color removes very quickly because it's a crazy color. So those always.
Yeah, and just a reminder to everyone, please, if you're not speaking, please have your phones on mute. There is some background noise that we're catching.
Okay. Mrs. Boss, I see Kristen Boss that you've asked to speak. Please feel free.
Thank you. Thank you to the board and the administration for their work on the return to school plan for the upcoming school year. However, I'm extremely disappointed that the students of a small outdoor educational-based school will be returning to school remotely. I'm sure we all have a mutual desire to return our school students to campus safely as soon as administratively possible. In the meantime, though, I've reviewed the board packet and I have a few points to make to the board and the administration. First, the parents need more details on the content, curriculum, and schedule. I understand it was a proposed schedule, but in the presentation, less than 2 of the 6 hours is instructional based in the core subjects. Is this 2 hours live instruction? Even if it is 100% live, this is woefully falling short of what these children will need. I don't think there would be a lot of dispute that the spring e-learning was not up to anyone's standards of learning. That, coupled with the typical summer slide, is going to put our students behind where they need to be. A blended curriculum reinforcing concepts that should have been covered in the spring will be needed while building on the core concepts for the school year at hand. In addition to large gaps in the day for snacks, specials, and lunch, looking specifically at the fourth grade schedule is a huge distraction. Unless a parent is able to sit down with an elementary age child each day, all day, which I can assure you is not realistic in many homes in this school, children this age do not have the developmental abilities to manage their time by knowing when to log on to a meeting, when to log off, when to do something else, when to have a lunch break, when to have a snack break, while carefully watching the clock for 15 minutes to make sure that they log back onto their class. Please consider blocking the core classes in the morning with a teacher on camera, teaching the lessons, breaking out for smaller group sessions and discussion, but please keep it continuous. Keep it focused on what needs to be accomplished during remote learning and not bind the kids to on the computer for any longer than necessary. Second, it's been said often that parents, how parents present this will be key to getting the kids buy-in. And I would say it will be the same as the teachers. I would strongly encourage teachers to report into their classrooms, dressed, ready for the day, even while we are in a remote setting. Teachers will be able to utilize the resources they need to be successful. Whiteboards and chalkboards, have access to printers and materials in their rooms, and have access to other teachers, which they can do socially distanced. Kids will take the cue from their teachers if this is the time for school and they need to be ready for learning. Third, I want to ensure that Prairie Crossing continues to address all the open items that weren't able to be addressed in time to open in August in person. How will we, the stakeholders, the parents, be informed as the board administration continue to work through these open items? Local businesses have had to grapple through the very concerns you have raised regarding contact tracing, quarantining, and in many cases, they put together plans in days and have fine-tuned them over the last month. They have the benefit of having colleagues devoted to disaster response and planning. Let's take advantage of their knowledge. Abbott, Advi, Alight, Stericycle, Kemper Sports, these are all businesses that personally employ our family and close friends, and we need to be coming together as a Lake County community to help our students learn. Thank you for working hard toward getting our students back on campus to have the most effective educational experience this school year for the families that choose and need this option. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw that Dana Lorenz, you'd like to address the board.
Hi, thank you. So I did want to just circle back from the conversation where I approached the board in June of this year, stating that I hoped that the children that were on an IEP or 5 of 3 would be given priority to return to school in an in-school learning environment and to atone for the issues that happened during the remote learning. And I was a little disappointed, and I imagine other families feel the same, that have a child or children that are on an IEP that were not given precedence to return to school at the start of the school year. I understand the concerns of teachers and administration, that the spread of the disease or potential of, but this is a minority population in the school. It's 12%. If we think roughly maybe 40 children, I think that there could be an opportunity where the school can provide services. And again, this isn't just one parent. This is also the recommendations of ISBE. ISBE has said that these are the children that must be prioritized for in-learning opportunities. It doesn't give opportunities if they're sitting in front of a computer, especially under ISBE's recommendations that the children under 13 should also be prioritized as well. So again, I'm a little disappointed as a parent that had approached the board last June. We were told to wait, to expect the ISBE recommendations. Here they are, and Prairie Crossing hasn't abided to the best interests of our kids.
Thank you. Are there additional members of the community who would like to give public comment? Again, fellow board members, if you're seeing someone before me.
No, there's a hand up that's referred to as Galaxy. It's showing up on the screen as Galaxy J7 Star. I don't have a name associated with that, but their hand is up in the participants room.
Thank you. If that is your ID, please feel free to address the board. If you could let us know your name for the minutes, we would appreciate it.
Hi, I hope you mean me. My name is Narita Strachan, S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N. Just wanted to express our wish to go for in-person instruction from the start of the school year. I understand concerns for the teachers, but multiple other professions are doing their job on the job, including me, including my husband. So we would like in-person instruction, please.
Thank you. All right. Any other hands?
Oh, no, it looks like we've got a Tatiana. Thumbs up for Tatiana.
Yes, Tatiana Santa Maria. Feel free to address when you're ready. Oh, that was a thumbs up, not a desire to speak. Okay.
Mel, can I ask a question?
So the board is not going to answer right now. You're welcome to state your question, but we're not going to be responding to anything at the moment, unless it's a procedural question, perhaps.
Sorry, my dog was barking. The question that I had was, during the remote learning the last 2 months of school, there was quite a few Wednesdays that were no screen time. And so the kids didn't even have a Zoom call or any instruction from the teacher. My question is something like this going to happen again? I would prefer that it does not. And I am also for in-classroom learning because I think out of any school in this entire area, Prairie Crossing could be the leaders and to show all the other communities how it's done and how it's done properly, especially because we're outdoors a majority of the time.
Thank you for the comments, Rosie.
Now there's a Galaxy S8 that has their hand up.
If that person would like to speak, you're welcome to do so. Anybody with a Galaxy S8 that's wanting to speak right now?
Is that me?
She's trying to speak, but she's on mute.
Oh, is that me?
That's you.
It is you.
Yes. Okay, hi. My name is Eva Kramer. So I sent in a letter stating I was a nurse during the in a hospital during the whole pandemic. We all did fine. I kept my family safe. I kept myself safe during the pandemic. and you know, it can be done as long as you take proper precautions. And I think it, you know, it, if everyone does the right precautions, wear a mask, obviously hand washing, it can be done. And I was in a COVID hospital. I think we need to return to school now when everything is still under control. I work in a hospital on a pediatric ward, and I think it's safer to return to school now before flu hits, versus returning to school during flu season. I think that is not the safest idea from what research shows, but I think if you're going to return to school, it's better to do it now when you don't have a mixture of flu. Also, you have to look at my like my parents don't speak English well. So now I have a 8-year-old who is essentially going to be fending for herself. And I'm sure I am not the only parent who will have grandparents or even other kids in a school who are foreign speakers. So I will have grandparents who will not be able to help my child during the at-home learning. She will be on her own because I will be at work and my husband will be at work. So how is an 8-year-old supposed to do this on her own? So that is my concern. I just don't know how she's gonna be able to do this. So those are my concerns.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, I raised my hand. This is Carol Olloyan.
Jim, did you hear the name? Hi, Carol, could you give us your last name once more, please?
Yeah. Sure, Olloyan, A-L-L-O-I-A-N.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Feel free to give your comment now.
Thank you. Most of my comments are actually questions. Our family has weathered COVID like many others, and this is a deeply personal and a deeply difficult decision for every family of when and how to quarantine, when to open up those quarantines, and where to go. For our family, we've lost family members to this disease. We've lost other folks, and we have multiple family members at risk. So for our family, maintaining a stricter quarantine is a better solution. And I understand that that's a different solution for every family. For us, we have missions. I work for a company that is on the front lines of the COVID. My husband works for a private school and is in charge of the facilities for preparing for COVID. And we have several questions about what facility improvements have been made at Prairie Crossing and on the campus and in the community, so that when different families coming together with all different backgrounds and needs and medical concerns, political concerns, economic concerns, et cetera, we're all quarantining different. They're mixing in a space in the schools for our teachers and our staff and our community. These folks are mixing, and it's very difficult to say for us, how are they going to do that safely? If we're wearing masks and we're being very diligent off campus, but our family, our very good friends have a different scenario at their house, how do we encourage our kids to be safe and meet the needs when and if they do return to a classroom? What facility improvements are going to be there? What community agreements are there? How are we going to maintain the safety of our school community, which includes the teachers, the parents, and the extended families of our students. The second question I have is regarding teaching instruction, both remote and blended. I believe a previous speaker alluded to some of those questions, so I'll try not to repeat them, but how will we block the instruction time? How will we work with synchronous learning and asynchronous learning to make sure that our students continue to receive a great education with in-person instruction? And by in-person, I mean virtual as well, but with your time, with other student time, et cetera, rather than just playing around on the computers, right? In the spring, we all did the best we could, but we can do better now. We've had more time to put together, and I'd like to understand what those plans are. And I'm a little disappointed that we haven't been asked as parents and as community for what are our concerns or what are you looking for. I would like to be included in that discussion as a parent and as a community member to say what are our needs and how can we help.
Thank you. We have time for one additional comment. I believe, is it Verenda Fasala?
Yes.
I apologize if I said your name improperly.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. My name is Virendra Pesala. I give respect to other parents, what their needs, but when it comes to me, from my side, are we given the situation, can we opt for the remote learning until a better situation or a controlled situation occurs into the schools or entire world? We want to opt for the remote learning if given the choice until there is a vaccine or better situation comes into the world. So if it is a remote learning option given for us, how can we communicate effectively other than Zoom? Is there any other media or other options will be provided to contact, interact with the teachers for more effective way? Maybe to simulate same as what the kids are doing in the classroom, like sharing the teacher, sharing with the kids. If a project is given as a group project, how do they coordinate? Earlier, they might use the Google Sheets or something. Rather than that, is there any other facilities provided if it is a remote learning?
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
So we are out of time for additional public comment at this point. If you have comments that you want to share, you are able to email the board. If you'd like to just send it to one address, you may send it to board@pccharterschool.org. I will make sure that every member of the board receives all of the emails that are sent there. You're welcome to email us individually as well. I know some people have done both, but again, board@pccharterschool.org will get it to all of the board. If I saw some comments about administration as well, if you or welcome to email Jeff as well at jdegan@pccharterschool.org. And otherwise, I'm going to keep us moving on to our discussion agenda. So I am going to let Jeff take the floor to talk about the return to school plan for August 2020 that's being proposed by the administration.
I guess it helps if you push on mute. So in the board packet is a lot of the work and a lot of the effort that has been done over the last few months by a number of people to try to provide the best and the safest route to educating our children. Unless the board requests it, I wasn't going to go through it page by page, because I'm hoping that you all had a chance to review it and set up your comments and your questions accordingly. I want to be clear, though, and that clarity is there are two things. This plan that's in the board packet, the remote learning plan, is the framework for a remote learning plan. It is different than an e-learning plan that was initiated last March. It is more robust. It has more accountability in it, both toward the state board guidelines as well as mandates. So things like instruction, hours of instruction, attendance, grading. The flexibility has shrunken to any school that is doing remote learning. It is not emergency learning, where there was an executive order that was shutting down schools. The other thing I want to make very clear is there's also in progress a implementation plan. And what I mean by that is you'll notice that in the remote learning plan, that framework does not talk about specifically, it provides examples, but does not talk specifically about what a day look will be in each classroom, how a teacher will perform to many of the questions that we heard in public comment and statements we heard in public comment around how we are going to keep a class safe when we return. The implementation plan is still in progress. There's a number of teachers and administrators that are working diligently on that. We are incorporating many of the comments from the parent survey and a staff survey that went out, as well as all of the emails and many of the comments that we heard tonight will also be incorporated into some of those frequently asked question type documents forthcoming very shortly. What we're asking the board to do tonight is to pass a resolution that says that the remote learning plan will be the course of action for the fall of 2020. In that plan, I believe on page 2 or thereabouts, is an anticipated timeline. I want to be clear that those dates on that anticipated timeline are nothing more than placeholders. You'll see August, September, October, and I believe even up into November. We don't have that crystal ball. We can't tell you when phase 4B will happen. We cannot tell you when phase 5 will happen. And so they are guidelines. More than likely, unless there is some miraculous turn of events, the remote learning plan more than likely will go through the first trimester. But we don't want to box ourselves in and approve something that says that if the conditions warrant it to happen sooner or even later. So I'm going to stop there for now, unless there's something specific you want me to address, and take questions from the board, comments from the board, and go at it like that.
Certainly. So Jeff, I know one of the questions that I have, and I imagine a lot of parents probably have as well, is in the proposed schedule, it does devote a considerable amount of time to something called intervention/enrichment, but there's not really a lot of description about what that entails. If that is only applying to children that are already qualified for intervention or enrichment services, or if that's applying to every student, I'm wondering, while I know the details aren't there yet, if we could get some more clarification over what that time period, if that's like every student will have learning then, or if that's optional, if you don't have intervention or enrichment, that's not school time for you.
So that's a good question. Either Tony or Jessica that are also on the call tonight, I'm going to let one of you take that and talk a little bit more about what that looks like in the day.
Sure. Hi. We've placed about an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon for enrichment and interventions. During a normal year, last year, any other year, we've always had that enrichment time or intervention time for our students in the Comstock building. Some of that enrichment time will be a little new to them, but in the Carson building, that will be a significant event that looks much like it used to. Students that are identified for enrichment or intervention will be receiving intervention at that time. We will be using that time to do enrichment as well for those students not receiving it. It will also be a time for support groups to work with their individual groups, whether it be on studies that they're working on. It could be time when resource teachers are working with their IEP or 504 students. It is a time in the morning and the afternoon for us to get the students what they need during this event. Some of that time may be flexible for students as well. I hope that answers that basic question. It will also be built as we continue to build that, take those feasibility plans into the implementation.
Thank you. So I'd open it up to other members of the board to ask your questions as well.
Jeff, as many people have expressed, just concerns for families who don't have the ability to help their kids. Are there any resources that the school is able to provide for those kinds of circumstances? So whether it's a single parent or two working parents or whatever the reason, and also, you know, I think that there's a lot of thought that's gone into helping the students who are on 503s or IEPs, but the ones that just need additional help from home, do you know, or are there any government programs that are coming forth or anything like that that can help those families?
The two separate parts to that answer. The 504s, the IEPs, and those that need intervention and enrichment on that level will be accommodated for based on their plans, whether that be remotely or some combination thereof. Jessica can speak more to that in a second. As far as families that are struggling with childcare or guardian care on any level, there is a finite amount of resources that I know of that are available from the school to help a parent be home with their child. That does not mean that our community can't rise to the occasion and figure something out amongst ourselves. If there is a way to spot share, somehow safely do that to the point where we're not overloading or impacting the safety of the children. But as a school source, there's not a lot that I know of. There's nothing that I know of beyond the standard stuff that the Lake County Health Department is offering. There's nothing above and beyond what the FFCR, probably getting that acronym wrong, but that is the leave section that the federal government put out a couple of months ago that talks about sick days and utilizing COVID emergency days for their families not have to go to work in the event that a school would be closed, among other things. So there are sources out there. They're not readily available. There's no inside track from the school to those sources. The school is more than willing to entertain suggestions, opportunities from our parent community and school community. If there is a way that we can support that, we would be more than willing to do so.
I have a question.
Sure.
When I was reviewing the schedules, and I know it's fluid, I know it's somewhat preliminary. However, as a teacher and a biologist, I noticed that there was right around 3 hours of screen time for kindergartners, which usually around 5 years old, I mean, any range from 4 to 6, right? And that's a lot of screen time biologically for kindergartners for that age group, to the point where that's something that in a average pediatrician appointment, they're going to ask you as a parent, how much screen time does your child have? This is the recommended amount per day. Now, that being said, that's non-COVID times. And however, I know that if my child was 5, I was a person who limited screen time that and device time. I still am, much to my 13-year-old chagrin. However, I know Stacy probably gets that. However, I do think that that's a valid concern for myself as a board member, like presenting. I don't know, I don't have an answer, but it seems that that's a lot of screen time for the age group and the brain developmental stage.
Yeah, Devin, that's a fair question or statement. You're not the only one that's asked that. And so I do know that specifically kindergarten teachers are looking at what that, so that is part of the implementation plan to address those concerns. We don't have the entire answers tonight, but we are working on the ability to keep that remote learning plan as flexible and as nimble as possible. It's paramount. That is the Prairie Crossing way. I think someone mentioned that earlier. We are addressing that. To what level that and what that answer is, I can't give you right now, but we understand that this is a high requirement for somebody who's potentially never even been in a school situation before. So we do recognize that. Our teachers are on top of it. The remote learning teams are investigating it, as well as the Tony and Jessica from the administration side. So I can't tell you what that answer is, but it's something we definitely recognize.
Yeah, and you kind of addressed the second piece of that is, so you have these children that don't know anyone as well in the classroom. They don't know their kindergartners. I mean, engaging them via an online platform is going to be a challenge, probably, I would guess, or at least some of them. That's the second piece of that sort of issue with the new students coming in, like the young, very young. Anyway, thank you.
Yes. Any other questions from the board?
I'd just like to make a quick statement. I just wanted to say also thank you for including the needs for the staff and the administration. I do think that is a really important part of the school, and there are no good answers here, and I just appreciate you, Jeff, and the whole administration for all that you've done to try and balance the very diverse needs in the community. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I completely agree with you. I mean, there's so many decisions. There's so many new things. It's uncharted. It's just uncharted.
Dimitri, it sounded like you wanted to make a comment.
I did. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. I just wanted to ask the question, kind of piggybacking off of what Devin was talking about with regarding the screen time. Are we going to be able to perhaps supply, you know, like the math books, other books to the students where perhaps maybe they don't have to do maybe some of the assignments online, they can actually do them using that actual workbook, and that could actually maybe help limit the screen time. I agree with Devin that as you look through the plan, or any plan, for that matter, from any school, the amount of screen time for the kids is just insane. So, you know, is there a plan perhaps to maybe issue the workbooks, the textbooks, whether it's the math books or whatever, and then the kids can kind of do their work there, maybe submit the work via photo, email, whatever, scan it to the teachers to help limit perhaps how much screen time they're actually using.
Yeah, that is part of the implementation plan. So we're definitely working on that. We've heard it loud and clear, so we're definitely working on it. I don't have the answers tonight, unfortunately. And so the intent is when we get a little further along with this implementation plan, is what I keep calling it, that is when the town hall will happen with the parents. The overwhelming amount of questions, both supportive and non-supportive of remote learning, have been there's very good feedback. The overwhelming amount of feedback that is coming from our staff, you've heard Our union president talked this evening about some of those concerns. Those are being weighed into the factor. That is why we delayed our town hall from last week, because frankly, we're just not ready to have it yet. And so these are, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I'm not going to give you a date until I know that we're ready. But our intent is to be ready pretty soon. And so if that means using some of the remote planning days that the state has authorized for this year to make sure we're ready to implement on a timely basis, we'll definitely be coming back and potentially asking to alter our calendar. And we should know those answers pretty soon, if not the beginning of next week.
Jeff, can I ask a similar question, or this might be better, Tony? As you guys are making the request here for remote learning, it sounds like then the children will still be following the same curriculum standards as if they were in-person learning, or are those standards being changed for remote learning?
Those standards will stay the same. The only thing that would change in the remote learning aspect is potentially the number of hours a day, which is kind of shown on one of those tables in the in the remote learning plan.
So I guess kind of in follow-up, and this might be more detailed than you're able to answer at this point, the number of hours per day, then is there thoughts on where we're taking those minutes away from? Is it the actual instructional time? Is it the class or group work time versus a child working on it at home?
I think it'll be a combination of both. And those details are right around the corner.
Do we have questions or comments from other members of the board?
Sorry, I had a quick one, and I think it's outlaid in the packet, Jeff. I just wanted to confirm and kind of relating back to maybe what Dimitri said and maybe answering his question is, I believe that there may be some plan in place, perhaps in the future, maybe this is a Tony question, where students can pick up work from teachers, or not in person, but I mean, what am I trying to say? Like, if there is a packet, for example, or something specific that teachers want students to work on that's not online, there could be a pickup from parents at school of this work to do at home, no teacher-student interaction. I feel like that was something I read at some point.
Yeah, that is outlined in the plan, in the remote learning plan.
I think that would go a really long way. And I was impressed personally with that aspect of allowing, you know, not having it be school is here and the students are here and there's the cloud, but if they can actually have parents go pick up some work, pick up a book, oh, here's this thing I just created that's going to add on to some student's desire to learn, that just came up, you know, in a discussion or in a Zoom call, like, hey, let's switch, let's do this crazy great group project, you know, I think that's always in the spirit of the PCCS charter and how to create that evolving academic framework that I love about PCCS, where it's follow the cool ideas. How do we make that work with online format? And I think that being that fluidity is great and going to support that sort of type of learning.
So what I'm asking, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jeff. Last question for Tony, I think, and we can follow this up in the town hall. Safety being paramount, has there been any discussion around, for lack of a better way to put it, with the open space that we have, any type of rotational, social, forgive me for not being able to describe it as I want, but an outdoor-only gathering, socially distant, for the kids to see each other, so to speak, on a rotational basis, you know, just like it's safer to play outdoor sports now. Has there been any thought to putting together some type of plan to allow the kids to, for lack of a better term, interact outdoors while the weather's still good, while we're still in, you know, this phase of the response.
Yeah, we're working with, so Dan, the majority of that will happen in phase 4B from a school standpoint, with potentially a few exceptions. We are looking into similar things about having at least new students potentially gather safely within the parameters of social distancing guidelines at school in some fashion during 4B, phase 4B. So the short answer is, yeah, we're working with the school nurse, we're working with administration, we're working with faculty to figure out how that could work and what the best angle is to do that with the resources that we have and the spaces that we currently have. But I'm going to share right now that my guess is that probably would not happen until phase 4C when there's some type of blended learning happening at on campus.
Roger, thanks.
So my ask tonight of the board is to adopt a resolution that's in your board packet that basically is saying that the school will implement a remote learning plan for the start of the school year for the fall of 2020. And work toward phases 4B, 4C, and 5 as quickly as conditions allow to do so safely and keep the integrity and the health and safety of our community at the forefront, including our staff. So what I'm asking you today is to approve a plan that says we are going to start the school year with remote learning. I'm not asking you to approve the implementation plan. I'm not asking you to approve anything other than to start the school based on the framework that you've seen in the remote plan that's in your packets so that we can continue full speed ahead with our implementation plan and try to turn that around very quickly. That's what I'm asking you to do tonight.
I'd like to ask you, there's a few members of the board that we haven't heard from. It's okay if you guys don't have questions or comments. I just want to make sure you've all had a chance to talk. Stacy, any questions or comments you want to ask or make?
Not really, no.
Right. Abe?
I'm good as well.
Cello? Not hearing an answer from Cello. We might have lost him.
Jeff,
I didn't hear what you said, Jeff. Can you say it again?
Cello shows that he's still in the room. You there, Cello? Okay.
Okay. Jeff, we heard as a board in public comment tonight that the union staff representative stated that the teachers are requesting remote learning at this point. Is the feedback, and this is also to Tony and Jessica, is the majority feedback you're hearing from our staff that that is their preference as well?
So we sent out a staff survey, took the temperature and the pulse of where our staff were and the comfortability, their comfort level on, at the time, what was going to be the on-campus plan. 76% were combined in two answers, and the one comfort level was not comfortable at all. And that number was around, I can't remember off the top of my head, 43%, something like that. And then the 36% said it very risky, which is the second highest negative rating you could have, right? Now that doesn't necessarily, I can't speak for the staff, but they did have concerns about coming, doing a in-person learning to the tune of about 76% of the survey participants. The flip side of that, our parent survey was roughly 37% not returning to school unless it was remote learning. If they had their, given the choices that they would have had of either coming in person or staying remote, 37% of our families, which would attribute with siblings, approximately 40 to 45% of our students.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments for the board? From the board, I should say. I'm sorry, I can't see you guys all on the same screen. No, looks like we're good. Okay. The second item on the agenda, I think we've addressed, but I just want to make sure that we don't have any specific questions or comments, is that board resolution for the return to school. Again, as Jeff has said, our ask tonight from the administration is that we approve the resolution in general, that we will start the school year in remote learning. We had it in the packet to review. Does anyone have questions or concerns that they want us to talk about related specifically to the board resolution? Nope, everybody's good? Okay. I will throw out the option to the board. As you know, we've done this before. We do not necessarily have to follow the strict order on our discussion agenda. We can make a motion to go ahead and move on our action item to action on items number 1A and 2A at this point, and then resume with our discussion agenda and the rest of the agenda for tonight. If the board is interested in doing that, I would need a motion to do so.
So moved.
Dan, second.
Dan. All right, we have to do all of our votes via roll call. So the first thing we are going to be voting on is action agenda item 1A, which means we are approving a return to school plan for August 2020, which will present us with a start to the school year in remote learning. I'll do a roll call vote. Nell is a yes. Jim?
Jim is a yes.
Stacy?
I'm a yes.
Abe?
Abe, yes.
Dimitri?
You're muted, Dimitri.
Can you hear me now? Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Dan?
Dan, yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Devin?
Devin, yes.
Cello?
Yes.
All right, that motion is passed. We have approved the return to school plan to start remotely. Next, we need to vote on the action agenda item 2A to adopt the board resolution for return to school. Nell is a yes. Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Abe, yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Dan?
Dan, yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Devin?
Devin, yes.
Cello?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So I'm going to return us now back to our discussion agenda to item number 3, which is talking about our board goals draft framework. Jeff, do you want to say something, or are you just moving?
Jim and Nell, we're going to need to coordinate signatures on that resolution.
Okay.
Separately, of course. So I'll be reaching out to you in a day or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right. I believe that Devin said she's leaving the meeting now. Just to people, Jim, for the minutes, if you want to note the time of her departure.
Okay, got it.
All right. So for our board goals draft framework, we had started talking about this last month and trying to develop our goals for the month. Everybody should have received it in their packet to be able to see just some talking points for us. One of the things that had come up as we're evolving as a school and as a board is that something, at least in my tenure on the board, as well as the other members on the board, and by what's been shared with us with the administration, the board has not previously engaged in any kind of self-evaluation. And that is something that we talked about as a board last month, and that I think it would be good for us to try and do as a board as we're working on developing our goals for next year. So everybody has it. Sorry, I'm flipping through, so I've got it in front of me. So I'm wondering if board members, if you've got it in front of you, if anyone has in general comments that they want to make ahead of time, we can do that, or I can kind of just take us, there's five standards on it, and we can make comments on it if we want as we're evaluating and trying to work on developing goals for next year. Anyone? Go ahead, Joanne.
I was just going to say, I really enjoyed reading this. It's a relatively new board member still. It was a little eye-opening. And my overall comment would be that my perception of what we do as a board is more reactive than proactive. And just in reading through this, it seems like there's a place for us to move into a more proactive role. Example is, you know, there's one of the standards talked about having a retreat, which I don't know of us having a retreat. Maybe I've just missed it. But
typically we do that in June. COVID didn't allow us to do that this year.
Fair enough. Okay. but just around helping to be involved more on the front end of some of the discussions for setting school goals and things like that. That's what I mean by it feels for me, and COVID has made my first year on the board very different, but being able to be more involved proactively. I think that our school administration does amazing work, but being able to have a little more insight into those discussions on the front end, to me, would be a goal for us as a board.
Thanks, Joanne. Any other general comments from the board? Sorry, I'm allowing extra time unless someone, just in case someone's trying to get off of mute or things like that. So I would certainly agree with you, Joanne, that part of this process is trying to help us become more proactive and forward thinking, as opposed to just needing to respond to the things that are being presented to us. If we look at standard one in terms of our governance and things, I think we are in a position where we've made, the administration with the support of the board has made some really nice progress on the strategic plan. We are expecting some updates this fall in terms of overall strategic plan from the school, from the administration. But I think, you know, this one we might need to table just a hint. But I think it would be really nice if once we have that strategic plan there, saying what is it that we're going to do as a board to make sure the administration and the school have what they need to reach out at that strategic plan. But I also might challenge us at the same time, you know, where is the board looking for the school to be going? You know, and do we have some of us talking or presenting that to the administration? I know we are in ongoing talk with them about that, but are we doing something to say, hey, this is where we'd like to see the school going, and providing some information about that proactively as well? Any other thoughts from the board on that standard? I would just add too, one of the things, you know, in that part does talk about, does the board do any kind of self-evaluation? Well, we're working on that. That's what we're doing now. Right. Standard two talks about our board governance and operations. I think overall, we're doing a pretty good job here, but I'm certainly open to people who might feel differently. Cello, I don't know if you're able to hear still, one of the things that comes under this is just doing the regular review of our policies and procedures. I know this is something that we have been doing in the past. Is there anything with that that you feel like we need to change?
No, I think it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just echo on this one as well. No, I think of the standard, this one too, we do a particularly good job on, in my year and a half on the board, and that we've reviewed our procedures and policies closely. I mean, we meet frequently and make sure that we're, working as a team.
All right. Any other comments there? All right. Related to standard three, there's some things I think, a lot of this talks about working with our administrative director. I feel like we've done a good job with that. Jeff is regularly a part of our meetings, regularly a part of conversations with us. One of the things in here that I know we've talked about before and just going to share personally, I would love to see us make this an action item. It's feedback I've gotten from members of our community and our staff as well. This talks about, are we advocating with our local legislatures for the best interest of Prairie Crossing School? And I know it's something that we have kind of piecemeal tried to do before. Current times maybe are going to make that difficult. I know one thing that we often talk about is if we could change how the school funding works, would that help us with some of the challenges that we have to operating as a school at times? So I don't know how other people feel, but that's something that I would love to see, even though I know it's COVID, I know it's hard. Our opportunities might be a little more challenging. I think it still is a board I would love to see us trying to make some emphasis on that. I hope everybody's quiet tonight. Anybody in support, anybody in opposition of it?
Well, I would just say, Nell, that I think that sort of works in concert with the newer, more robust outreach committee that we're working. It's kind of been put on pause again because of COVID, because everything in the world's been put on pause because of COVID. But, I think that's something that fits into that outreach committee. It's one of the things we talked about in the one outreach committee meeting we were able to have before the pandemic.
Thanks, Stacey. And I would agree. I think outreach is right where it would be great to see us trying to focus that work. Certainly we can all be involved, but having that committee spearheaded makes a lot of sense. All right. On standard four, talking about our budget and our finance. Our administration, I think overall, has done a great job of managing our financial situation. I know we did a lot of work, and a lot of the strategic plan was kind of solidifying some of our long-term financing. That was successfully accomplished over the last year. We had talked about now that we have that long-term financing stabilized, trying to look at things and what can we do to pay down our debt? Can we do some more creative financial things to help just further improve the financial stability of the school? I don't know, does anyone else have thoughts on that, on the financial piece of things?
Just in terms of the budget and finance committee, now I would say, that the long-term plan is sort of the next step where the committee was heading. Again, I sound like a broken record, but things kind of got put on the back burner because of COVID, and we were more focused on, things more immediately pressing. That's something that I know that the members of the finance committee have been very interested in putting in place now that the long-term financing is locked in. And I think that's something that the long-term plan isn't as concrete right now as we'd like it to be, but I'm confident that once we get back to even if it's half normalcy or quarter normalcy or whatever we're going toward, I think that we'll have a good long-term vision and a long-term plan to present to the board.
Thanks, Stacey. comments related to that? All right, then now last standard talks about kind of our leadership principles. I don't have any major concerns here. I feel like we do a good job with this. You know, I think this is an area of strength for us overall.
I agree.
Yeah. Anybody have concerns here? One thing, I think I missed it. One of the other thoughts I had, I know we touched base on this a little bit last month, but I do want to make sure that we spend some time thinking about over the summer. Shortly, I know Jim's in charge of our election policy. Emails are going to be going out shortly that the election is going to be coming up. And just having us think as a board, are we doing some active recruitment in terms of thinking about what are the qualifications, what are the specialties, what do we want to reach out to? In terms of trying to, you know, see, are we recruiting board members in addition to, of course, it's open to the public and anyone's welcome to apply. But just making sure as a board that we're actively seeking people out.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up now.
Great. So from the board, any other questions, comments about that?
Nell, it's nice to see these in print. We've been talking about this for several years, and this seems like it's much more actionable.
Thank you. It's a starting point, and certainly as a board, because I know this is a new thing, if you know there's ways we want to improve on it, tweak it, please feel free to give feedback for moving forward, but I thought this was a nice starting point for us at least. So I would love to see us actually try and make at least a couple of concrete specific goals as a board. Again, in my time on the board, we've talked about things abstractly, but we've never really kind of concretely said, hey, this is what we're going to try and accomplish this year and make sure that we're doing to hold ourselves accountable for it. Clearly, that is just my opinion. I don't know if others are on board with that or not, but that's kind of where that last page of that assessment comes in, is to really specify, hey, as a board, this is what we're trying, this is a goal that we would like to accomplish this year.
Well, I think you may have just named one of them, Nell, that our recruitment should be strategic and actually be recruiting. And so perhaps for our next meeting, we should all come with just our thoughts on what is needed for the board from a strategic standpoint, as far as makeup of the board is concerned. You know, do we need more finance people, legal people, those kinds of things, and then actively recruit people from the community to fill those roles.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just develop a recruiting plan.
Yeah.
Well, now, along the lines of recruitment, and one thing that gnaws at me a little bit is, as much as we need great board, great people on the board, I it's part of the ethical standards. I would love for the board to set up something where we could help the other organizations within the school, like the PSO, et cetera, promote, you know, more involvement in the school, you know, as part of our positions on the board. So I can't put my finger on it. Maybe I'll work on maybe a better description, because I do like those line items that you put out. But one of the ethical leadership ones is to, you know, proactively, you know, try to better the school. So I think there's a way that it can be done, and it can be shared, so to speak, with anyone associated with the school, board member or not. But I think the board members can take an active role in trying to help develop those relationships. So I'll try to get it in more precise form and bring it over to you. But I feel like there's something there beyond board members that the board can help with.
Thanks, Dan. So I'm wondering, then, in that light, I don't want this process to continually take us months at a time. You know, something we started in June and now we're July, and then we're talking about, okay, let's think about it in August. But as it is something new for us, I realize there might need to be some of that. Are members of the board wanting some more time to think about goals, or do you feel like we can go ahead and make a couple goals tonight?
For me, Nell, I think part of my hesitation, well, certainly part of my hesitation is being new, but the other part is wanting to align our goals with the school goals. And so maybe those should be the same conversation.
That's a valid point. Yeah.
To see where, you know, so that we're looking at the school goals and working on developing that and saying, where can the board help support these initiatives? Mm-hmm. And that can become some of our goals as well.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if perhaps our, you know, kind of stated goal for tonight is that as that strategic plan is released in the next coming months, which should be sooner than later, but is coming, that we do then align our goals and put the governance committee in charge of making sure, you know, that it's the kind of thing that often falls under them, of perhaps formulating those specific plans and bringing them to the board meeting. Does that work for people?
Yeah, that works.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
All right. People are good with that. All right. Do we, Cello, I'm totally putting you on the spot. I don't have our meeting calendar in front of us. Do we know when the governance committee's meeting again? Is it August, September?
I don't know. I have to check. Sorry about that.
But, yeah, that's okay. I'm not remembering either. All right. I will look and I will keep us accounting there to make sure that we are following up with that. All right. So the next question, Jeff, we have closed session up next to approve new employees. Are there items in that need to go into closed session, or can we handle that in open session?
We can handle it in open session.
Okay.
As an FYI, August 18th is the next governance meeting.
Thank you. Okay.
As far as hiring new employees, we're going to make one offer to a gentleman named with your approval, we're going to make one offer to Thomas West as an instructional assistant. That's the only person I have today for hiring.
Okay. Does anyone on the board have questions for Jeff about that? All right. Next item on our consent agenda is the executive director report. Jeff, I know we've talked about the plan. Your report was a lot about the plan. Is there anything else you want to add there?
No, that was it. It was just the introduction to the
report. All right. Any members of the board have any other questions or comments on that? I'm assuming not, but just checking.
No.
All right. We also had the June 2020 interim financial statements in our packet. Any questions or concerns about that?
Just as a sidebar, while you think about questions, the auditors are due. The auditors will begin their process any day now. We thought it was going to be this week for our FY20 financial audit. And they're going to start it remotely. So a lot of the exchanges between Kim DeSalvo and the auditors through the clouds, so to speak. At some point, they will do site visits. And when they do those site visits, I'll need access to closed session and things like that.
Yes.
Okay. Our audit is due to ISBE on November 1st, at least for this year. And we'll be well on the way to making that happen.
Okay. Stacy, any concerns from a finance committee perspective about the financial reports?
Nothing I saw raised any questions for me.
Okay. All right. So the next item on the agenda is we need, all right, first Everybody should have received a copy of the minutes from the June 23rd, 2020 meeting. Are there any addendums suggested by anyone?
No, there was just one. So in the meeting notes from June for Elizabeth Pondlack, I didn't note in there that she's being hired for the resource teacher. So we'll be adding that in there.
No other corrections or additions from anyone?
I can do that for you, Jim.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, so I need a motion to approve the open session minutes from the June 23rd, 2020 meeting as amended.
Dan, so moved.
Take it, Dan.
All right. So Dan was the first, who was the second?
Abe.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, we need to roll call. Mel's a yes. Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
I need a motion to approve the reports on the consent agenda.
So moved.
Dan, so Joanne. Moved. Sorry. Second.
Joanne
and Dan.
Yeah. All right, Nell's a yes. Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Cello?
Yes.
Next up on the agenda, we do have 10 additional minutes here for public comment. If there is anyone who would like to give public comment, please shoot me a message in the chat or raise a hand.
No, I want to point out to you, there was quite a bit of activity over the last half hour. I don't know if we want to address any of those questions now.
So the board is still not going to respond to public comment tonight?
Right, yeah.
And I'll be honest, some of the questions I was able to see, some of them I need to look at the chat afterwards. Help me out, members of the board. Is it looking like anyone at this point is wanting to give public comment? I'm not seeing anything.
Can I give?
They can also post a chat in the chat room if you want to give public comment. Just put your name down in the chat box.
I'm seeing the question submitted by Dana. I will offer it as public comment. Oh, hold on. It was just a question of would we be hearing from Jessica tonight? Sorry.
Can I throw out a comment real quick? Is that possible?
So the board doesn't typically comment during public comment. We're not public. I know. Sorry. All right. I'm going to move us on then to finishing our action agenda. For 3A, I'm going to defer because we're not really adopting our board goal framework. We're going to defer that to our governance meeting and to adopting that once the new strategic plan is out. But for 4A, we need a motion to approve the hire of Thomas West as an instructional assistant.
So moved.
Second.
That's a first from Stacy and a second from, Abe, thank you. All right, Nell's a yes. Jim?
Wait. Let me give you some, sorry guys, I had mute on. Let me give you the particulars for your minutes. Thomas West is an instructional assistant at $14.50 an hour on days that they substitute at $17.50 an hour.
Thank you. All right, so I'm going to start again. We have a motion was first motion made by Stacy, second by Abe. Nell is a yes. Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Dimitri?
You're muted, Dimitri.
Yes, thank you.
Dan?
Dan, yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Sello?
Yes.
We need a motion. We don't have any closed session minutes that need approval this month, so that one doesn't apply. Is there any new business from members of the board that you wish to discuss tonight? Nope. Everybody's good? All right, so I need then a motion to adjourn.
Dan, so moved.
Second, Joanne.
Roll call, Nell's a yes. Jim?
Yes.
Stacy?
Yes.
Abe?
Yes.
Dimitri?
Yes.
Dan?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes.
Devin? Oh, Devin's gone, sorry. Sello?
Yes.
All right, so we are adjourning at 7:57 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
All right, good night.
Good night.